I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. America is a melting pot of cultures and languages. It should surprise no one that its prisons reflect that diversity. Our guest today knows this all too well. When Luis Capote isn't hard at work performing his duties as television program traffic director at the Three Angels Broadcasting Network in Illinois, he's bringing comfort and God's word to inmates in various locations, speaking the language they understand. Luis, welcome to Someone Cares.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be able to share my experiences, and I'm looking forward to this program.
As you deal with incarcerated individuals from various cultures and backgrounds, do you find differing needs expressed by them, and how do you fill them?
Well, sure they are, especially with the Latino community. It's difficult because a lot of them do not understand the language. So as the individuals are being incarcerated, they're finding themselves in a double difficulties. A, they're in a foreign environment that they're not used to, which would be a jail.
Yes.
And B, they're being told what to do in a language that they don't understand. When somebody like me comes in, their eyes just light up when they hear the language for the first time.
So they could possibly be disobeying orders simply because they didn't understand the orders, am I right?
That's correct.
Wow, okay, all right. So when you approach a new inmate and their eyes light up, like you say, and you know the language, what are the kind of questions they ask you right away about their environment?
When we talk to them, we go for a specific purpose. Whether we go with Christmas Behind Bars and give a package, or whether my weekly service on Sundays, we go there to pretty much preach the gospel, so there isn't any one-on-one conversation with them, for say. When we do, they pretty much just tell us what their story is, why they're there, and how God has won them, and how God is doing a change in their lives, and how, with all that they've done in the past, now they're a new creature. So for the most part, we don't hear much about their day-to-day life in prison.
Right. It sounds like you're saying that they're just like everyone else. They're like you and me. They're like people from different cultures. They all have the same needs, the same wants, and the same desires. Am I on the right track?
If you only knew. You know, when I first was asked to be in prison ministries, I refused. I just did not want it. I said, this is not for me. Because I had a concept of those individuals that were in jail that now, after a year and a half of doing this, was so erroneous. They're my brothers. You know, when God asks you to go visit those individuals in prison, he's not doing it for them. He's doing it for you. In reality, I gain more from the process, and I actually now understand more of how the enemy gets you to a place where humans should not really feel sorry for them. But when you go in there and God calls you to go in there and minister to them, they actually become truly more than your family. They actually, because not only are they your brothers in Christ, now you can see the light in their eyes when you are starting to bring them the gospel, and they're just eating it up. They're just sucking it in like you've never seen in your life.
And the only way that, as far as I'm concerned, the only way that you can do that is to stand before them and look into those eyes. Am I right?
Oh, yes. There are two different aspects of my prison ministry. The one with Kristen Behind Bars, we actually only get to see them for an hour. They come in to a hall. There's about 400 or 500 of them. We just preach to them. My service on Sundays now is a Bible study. It's one-on-one. I have a two-hour with them every Sunday for the past year and a half. And they ask me questions, and I respond to them. And now it just becomes to the point where you almost neglect your day-to-day. You know, sometimes you can't go on trips. You can't do all these things because you have these individuals, sometimes 40 or 50 of them, that are in need of your weekly dose of God. Mm-hmm. Because through the week, they don't get that. It's only those 2 hours that they could come together and they truly appreciate the gift of somebody even caring for them, because some of them, they seldom get visits. They seldom get letters. They seldom get to talk to anybody outside the prison environment.
You know, you bring up an interesting point here, because people who want to write letters, like through the Someone Cares program and also other prison programs, visiting whatnot, you say, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. That may not be the case. Am I on the right track?
That is correct.
Wow.
And you have no idea how they appreciate those letters. Mm. You have no idea how they yearn for them. They come and they tell me, please let those individuals know that that's the only way. If God has tasked you to do a mission, don't let the enemy stifle that. Because what happens a lot of times, individuals says, oh, there's so many individuals that are willing to do it. But no, you're the only one that can actually touch their heart.
Yeah.
No one else going to have the same experience as you. So if the Holy Spirit is impressing you that this is something you need to do, let me tell you, if you don't get to feel it here, when you get to heaven, you're going to see the fruits of your labor. You're going to see these individuals, how they have come to Christ. And not only that, they share their experience with those around them.
So it sounds like your job is to not only be a stepping stone for the Holy Spirit, but also to get the stone rolling in those persons' lives to reach other people.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
You know, the one thing that is constant in the prison ministry is that they are transferred all the time. Mm-hmm. So the individuals that I started a year and a half ago are totally different than the ones that I have right now. I only have about 10 or 15 that are constant.
Mm-hmm.
So the seed that I've planted here is moving to other areas in the prison industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no idea when you are finished. I am sure that when I stand in front of the Lord, God is going to show me all of those individuals and how those seeds had been planted anywhere else in the United States and how they grew and how fruits were coming along. That's not the main reason why I do this. I do this because of the thirsting and the needing that they want on a weekly basis and how they have changed. You know, this past Sunday, I had one individual that got up and pretty much said, well, you know, I've studied about the Seventh-day Adventists. They're a legalistic group. You know, be careful what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, some of the other individuals say, wait a minute, we were where you were a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and this gentleman has opened our eyes to the Bible, under the Bible only. So therefore, you get to see their growth. You get to see how they become from individuals that tell you, I have nothing, I don't know nothing about God. And all of a sudden, now they're the ones that are correcting and helping others to be able to understand the Bible better.
Oh, my. We're talking with Luis Capote. He is the television program traffic director at the Three Angels Broadcasting Network in Illinois. That's his day job. Then he has another job, and it's a full-time job as well, because I'm sure that these people, these prisoners, these inmates, they are on his heart all the time. Would I be right in saying that?
That is correct.
All right. So he has these dual jobs that he does. How did you get into it? You mentioned that at first you were resistant. Why did you even consider doing this?
I came in as an editor here at 3ABN,
mm-hmm.
and they kept on telling me the need for somebody to speak Spanish in the prison ministry. And I, right away, I said, you know what? Not me.
Huh.
Please move on. Get someone else. And they have told me, you know, why don't you just put the application in? It takes 6 months to put it through. And I said, you know what, fine, I'll do it. All of 6 months, I was praying, Lord, please, not me. But I have been the only application that has been approved in the past year and a half.
My.
No one else has been approved past me.
My.
And let me tell you, when I first got there, I was apprehensive. But now, it's part of me, it's my life. What I've learned from this is when the Bible asks you to do something, when the Bible tells you that at the end, Christ is going to come and say, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was in jail and you visited me. It's not for those individuals. It's for your own growth. It's for you to be able to see the power of God in the lives of those whose society has shunned, whose society has said they're not worthy of my presence. If today you feel in your heart that there is something you can do for the Lord, let me tell you, prison ministry would be the best rewarding, the most rewarding thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Luis, as you look back on the time you have spent helping those behind bars, Is there any particular event or person that springs to mind that says to you, Luis Capote, this is correct. This is what you should be doing. Any examples you can share with us?
You know, I had a young man, what could he have been, 19, 20 years old, come to one of our services, and he was almost with tears in his eyes. Because as he was coming, one of the inmates had told him, oh, you did the crime, you hypocrite. Why are you going to go talk of God? Go do your time and forget about God. God wants nothing to do with you. You know, that gentleman, when he came in, he kept on coming Sunday after Sunday. Every week he would come in. And the growth that he experienced by the end of the time, he truly felt the freedom that only comes through Christ. And those are the reasons why I knew I had to be there. There are several other individuals. There was one that was from my own country, Cuba, that he was so excited. He was being taught by another religion. And when he came in and he saw me, he gravitated to what I had to say. And those individuals, let me tell you, there are over 6 billion people in this world, and God chose me to go to this particular prison. They had prayed for 4 years to get somebody to preach to them in Spanish, to teach them the Bible in Spanish. And no one had come, and God sent me. That is such a humbling experience to know that somebody like me, you know, that have all the other worries in life, that really did not even want this ministry in the first place, God can use in such a mighty way. And I feel like the Moses experience. I felt at first that I couldn't do it. But then once I stood in front of them, the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks through me. And it's such a blessing to be able to, because I learn as well.
Yes.
I learn as the Holy Spirit is teaching them the things that I need to know to be able to have a better relationship with God.
Mm. In the closing minute of our program today, Luis Capote, would you do us the honor of praying for those who are listening to this program who are saying, well, maybe I want to be involved, but I'm a little bit afraid. Would you pray for them right now? I would appreciate that.
Oh, our loving Father, we are so grateful to be able to serve you, Lord. Lord, it's such an amazing way to be able to see our brothers and our sisters, Lord, that society has done away with, Lord, and we can look in their eyes and we can see that light when we show them the love of Jesus. Lord, there are some of them that have never been told that they're loved. And you give us the opportunity, Lord, to go in there and to be able to write to them and to be able to tell them that not only were you created, but that Creator came and died on the cross for them. Lord, there's a light that shines in their eyes and is such an amazing blessing. I'm praying today, Lord, for that individual that is thinking about, what do you want me to do next? That individual that's just fleshly retired, that individual, Lord, that has maybe a couple hours here and there to be able to write a letter. I'm praying for them, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that they may realize that, yes, there is a high need that is needed right now, and Lord, please, use me. And I ask you, Lord, that as they look at their own ways, their own thought, their own fears, may you rebuke the enemy in their lives, and may they be able to see that by serving, they are the ones that benefit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Listener, you just heard someone pray from the heart and from experience. I appreciate that. Luis Capote, television program traffic director at the Three Angels Broadcasting Network in Illinois, also very involved in especially the Hispanic area of prison ministries. Luis, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your heart. Appreciate that.
Thank you. God bless.
And listener, this is Charles Mills along with Luis Capote, reminding you that someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit someonecares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is someonecares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.